And we're going to go from breakthrough this morning, from the praise, to breakthrough in the Word. Just say to somebody next to you, I'm going to go from breakthrough to breakthrough, from victory to victory. Because this morning I want to speak about victorious faith. Victorious faith. And I'm going to hook it up with what the Lord's put on our heart to be preaching in this season, which is about the vision of Kingdom Faith Southwest, this church, that God has given us a vision that we began probably over 11 years ago now, a word from heaven, which is the foundation of any local church. It's unique. It's slightly different to all the rest of God's church in this region and in this nation. And God gives unique callings for unique works. And while we're part of the universal body of Christ, we're one body in Christ Jesus, we have a unique calling as a church. And as a member of this church, we all are called to see the heavenly vision fulfilled for us as a people. And I know that your call and my call individually is worked out amongst us as a church, the body of Christ here in this place. Everything that happens in your life personally and comes to pass personally is within the context of body life, because we're members of the body. And just like your physical body is joined together, you are joined in the body of Christ together for the purpose of Jesus Christ. And our vision, if we could have it up on the screen again, please, Christiana. Our vision is that we believe. We are to believe, and that's already a victory, to believe. We're believers, but we particularly are called not just to think about or think it's a possibility, but to live in, to believe in the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ, to be empowered by his word and spirit, because we can't live in the victory of what Jesus has done through his death and resurrection unless we're empowered through his word and his Holy Spirit. We need his spirit and his word. And we always, as God has ordained it in the church, he's given gifts, fivefold ministry gifts, to equip the saints for works of service. And so we are being trained. As part of God's church, we are being trained. That's a process, of an ongoing process of training. And I know in my life, I've never stopped being trained. I'm always learning, I'm always growing, I'm always developing, I'm always seeking for more and more of the knowledge of God's word and God's ways. Being trained and equipped so that you, as God's people, will go out and make disciples. That's the whole vision. But the promise that God has given us is from Ezekiel. And Ezekiel 37:10 says, they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. That's what 37:10 says. And this is the promise that we have, that God will raise up an exceedingly great army. And this army is raised to stand. They stood on their feet. And no army is ready for action unless they're standing. And in Christ Jesus, we're in the position, the God-given position, to stand in this generation for the faith that was once for all handed down to the saints. We're here to stand for the Word of God as the authority of our lives personally and the Church of Jesus Christ. And we're here to stand for all the things that Jesus has spoken about in the New Testament, to live in it, like healing, signs and wonders, miracles, like the power of the Holy Spirit on every believer to do the same works as Jesus and greater still. What a vision God has for us. And so it's exciting to be part of a heavenly vision, a vision that is from God, that is bigger than you or your particular individual job or ministry. It goes way beyond. And sometimes I think we just need to reach for the greater things, and we will find out that personal things break out in our lives, the things that God has for us, as we reach out for what God has for us as his church. Now, one reason that God has called us an army is because we have the mandate, as every church does, but particularly an edge. God wants to speak to us about being an army to defeat the devil. You have a call on your life to defeat the devil. I don't know if you're excited about that, but I am. Because Jesus said, I've come to give you life. I've come that they may have life, and life in all its fullness. The devil has come to rob, kill, and destroy. He's a stealer, he's a destroyer. But we have been raised in Christ to defeat him. We are in Christ to do something about what the devil is doing in people's lives. We're in Christ to do something about this nation. We're in Christ to change the status quo in this region. We're in Christ to alter the course of this region for Jesus. And the scripture, the word of God, makes it very clear in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, that our battle is not against flesh and blood. We don't fight against people. Our battle, we don't have a problem with people. We're here to love and win people. But Ephesians 6:12 says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but is against principalities and powers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so the scripture makes it really clear that in Christ, and even though you're in victory in him, you have someone who is constantly opposing you. And the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy all the blessing and the goodness that God wants to give. And so we need to be alert, if you like, to a battle, to a war that is going on. Sometimes I think when people become Christians, they give their lives to Jesus. It's amazing how quickly the devil comes in to stop them from moving on. The devil either brings a relationship, they fall in love with somebody who's not a Christian that leads them away. They get into a battle that is beyond, things go wrong in their lives. And it's amazing how when somebody becomes a Christian, how quickly the devil responds to that and tries to steal their faith. What was it like for you when you became a Christian? All kinds of things of unbelief and fear and stuff really started to hit at you, because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the powers and principalities of darkness. And we need to understand that the enemy is very real. But the word is clear that Jesus Christ says in his word in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Amen. Smile. If you believe that, you'll be smiling. I have given you. So in other words, in Christ, God already has given you something. And that something is authority. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. How much of the power of the enemy? All. What did Jesus say? He said, all. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Amen. How many of you really believe that? Yeah. I'm taking God at his word today. It's the word of God, and it's God's word to us in Christ. So we have authority. That means the right to the right to rule, or the right to exercise power over the devil. So just like a policeman on these streets has the right to stop somebody in their car because of the authority invested in them to bring about the rule of law in this nation, we've got authority in the spirit realm to say, no, you can't come in to my life. No, you can't have my health. No, you can't have my peace. Actually, you can't have my time. My time belongs to Jesus. And so we've been given authority in the name of Jesus. There's no other name under heaven which has that authority. That authority, demons, when they hear you speak the name of Jesus in faith, they have to run. Scurry, scurry, scurry. Scurry. Run, run, run. The devil's on the run. From a believing Christian. So we need to believe the words of Jesus, don't we? If he has given us authority, he's also commissioned us with that authority to go into the world and to heal the sick. But not just heal the sick. He actually said to all disciples in every generation, cast out demons. He gave this to the first church after he'd risen and conquered the devil through the cross and resurrection. He said, now I've given you authority. Now those who believe in my name, these signs will follow them. They will cast out demons. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So Jesus commissions us today to be on the offensive, to advance, to heal the sick, tell the devil to come out of people's lives and bring the kingdom of heaven in. That is our God-given mandate, and we have authority to do it. Just as a policeman has authority to do certain things, every believing Christian has authority to do amazing works. But I just want to emphasize today, you've got the authority over the enemy in your personal life. You've got authority over the enemy in your home. At work, you've got authority over the enemy, not over your boss, because you're to submit to your boss. Because that's what the Bible says. To submit to all earthly authorities. But you've got authority over the enemy. Amen. And the prerequisite of us using that authority, the Word of God tells us in James, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? How many of you want to see the devil on the run? I am determined to see the devil on the run. Our battle is against him. And so if I live my life submitted to God, in other words, to submit to God, to some Christians is a little bit like singing a song. But that's part of it, but that's not all of it. Because to submit to God is to say, I submit to every word that you say, Lord. Because an army actually has a commander in chief. And we're under his command. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my what suggestions? Jesus didn't use a suggestion. He always spoke with a command, even to his disciples. Go into all the world. Not, I suggest you might. He used issued commands because he's Lord. He's a good God and everything he does is good. But he is still Lord. And he is king of his army. Absolutely. And he's the king of love, who's given us exceedingly great precious promises for an exceedingly great army. They both go together. But we are to submit to God and then resist. How many of you know we are a resistant force in society today? That the Church of Jesus Christ are here to resist what the devil's doing, not back off. Now, it is clear in Scripture that in our mission, our goal as God's army to go into the world and to enforce his victory in people's lives, to bring the goodness and blessing of heaven, the rule of heaven into people's lives, it's clear in Scripture that we will face opposition to the mission. Because the devil does not want you healing anyone. He doesn't want you ruling over the enemy in your own life. He doesn't want you commanding victory over somebody who is mentally ill and telling the enemy to leave them. How many of you want to heal those who are mentally tormented and set captives free? Because we've got an anointing for that, and we have an authority to do that. We are here to see people come out of psychiatric wards whole. And our battle is against principalities and powers of darkness. It's the devil who seeks to torment humanity. And God brings the rule of peace. But there is an opposition to our mission. And I'm happy to say that we're always going to win if we do life God's way. Amen. I'm really happy to say our vision is not to lose. Our vision is to win. We have a vision from God to live in the... What's this little word up here? The victory. Do you see that Jesus won the victory over every sickness, over every demonic power, over every force of wickedness? Is Jesus now victorious? Are you in Christ, raised and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Did you die and come alive to God, a new man in Christ Jesus? Amen. Well, that means, guys, we've got a vision to win. And to bring about heaven's victory in the name of Jesus into reality in the earth. There's only one word over us, and it's victory. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. Who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ Jesus. That's the word of God. Thanks be to God who always leads us in victory. But the opposition will come, as it came to Jesus and the disciples. And in Luke 8, chapter 8, I trust I've got the right reference. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22, we read here, let's just run through this quickly because I'm going to come to an absolute resounding victory towards the end, but I just need to unpack a few things first. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. Now they're doing this to go on mission. They're not doing it to have a nice time on the water. I mean, God wants you to have a nice time in your journey, but primarily you've got a mission. We're not here to be messing around on the water. We're here to go to the other side and make sure we reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so here we go. They go over to the other side of the lake. They got into the boat and they set out. And as they sailed, Jesus took a nap. I like Jesus, you know. Of course I love him. But I like seeing the reality of, hey, just had a massive ministry, a lot of opposition, but we're going to go across the other side. I'm just going to take a nap. He took every opportunity to get physical rest so that he was ready for mission. It was all to serve the mission. So he took a nap. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him up saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided, and it was all calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. You see, authority always leads to an action that leads to obedience. So Jesus had authority in every realm, and his disciples are in the boat, and as they're going out on mission, the devil sent opposition to that mission. Now, the first thing in the mind of the enemy is to sink a disciple. Wake it up, guys. Wake up, shake up, shake up. His first plan is to sink you in fear and unbelief and natural responses. Because if we naturally respond to the issues of our lives, he will win. Because we have no power over the stuff going on unless we use our faith and authority. And so he is always working to get you into fear and into living out of your senses, your emotions, your feelings. And let me tell you, they're nothing more than feelings. They're nothing more than. Because faith is the call of every disciple. The righteous shall live by his faith, not feelings. Now, we all have feelings. God gave us feelings. But if you and I live by our feelings, the enemy will win every time. And so Jesus, what was his response to this? He stood up. I love this. It makes me think about the army standing. They stood on their feet. Didn't sit down wailing and crying. They stood up. Come on, church. Come on, believers. They stood up. He got up. He didn't do it from a sleepy position. He got up and he said, I rebuke. He rebuked the wind and the waves. And there was a great storm. Peace. The storm stilled. Now, Jesus, if you read your Gospels, the New Testament, Jesus rebuked lots of different things. He rebuked a storm in this situation, circumstances that were sent to sink him and his disciples. So if anything is sent to sink us, do you know what we're supposed to do with it? Jesus says, where is your faith? Do you have faith that I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy? Do you believe my word? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word. Yes, Lord, I believe that. I've got authority over all the power of the enemy, so I'm going to speak to this storm and command it to stop. I don't have to pray about it. I have to tell it. Now, Jesus used rebuking a lot in his ministry to bring people into freedom and to bring situations under the rule of heaven. In Luke chapter 4, we read that Simon Peter's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. And Jesus went in and rebuked the fever. And the fever left. So Jesus spoke to fevers. Jesus spoke to fevers. Jesus then, at the end of Luke 4, had a whole town come to his door for healing, and he rebuked sicknesses, and he rebuked demons. So Jesus used the rebuke both against demons and against sicknesses. We see he used a rebuke against a storm. Jesus rebuked a storm. He spoke to a fig tree because it wasn't producing fruit. Sometimes the things that we're doing that aren't producing fruit need a word. A little bit of a rebuke. I command you. Anything that's false, come out. Leave. Die. Because I want the life, the resurrection life. I want everything to produce in my life. Jesus spoke to a tree. He told his disciples to believe in their heart, have the faith that comes from God, and speak to mountains. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then in troubles and hardships, what shall we say to all these things? I think we should have a lot to say to trouble. I think we've got something to say to sickness. I think we've got something to say to fevers. I think we've got something to say to hereditary sicknesses. I think we've got something to say to people who are living in a pattern of sickness. A bad back that has gone on for years. I think we've got something to say. And the power of the rebuke, Jesus just spoke and it happened. Now I'm going to teach you a little bit of Greek. A little bit, just a little dose to explain what the word rebuke means in the original translation. And if Sandra had been here, I'd have had the slide prepared. But this is fine. You can listen. And if you want to learn what the word is, I'll say it slowly. The Greek for a... sounds like a big fat Greek wedding. The Greek, it's a Greek. The Greek for rebuke is epitimeo. Epitimeo. Now, epi means higher. Timeo means to speak. So a rebuke means to speak from a higher level. To speak with a higher power. Because every Christian has a higher power than the devil. Than every fever, than every sickness, than every disease, than every storm, every believer in Christ has a higher power. But not every Christian rebukes. But you only get the results if you do it God's way. And so what is the power of the rebuke through a believer? Someone who has faith and is using that faith like Jesus. Jesus just got up and rebuked. We need to get up, spiritually speaking, stand on our feet and say, actually, God has given me authority and I believe it. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke you. So now you know a bit of Greek. I hope it does you good. There's no point in knowing these things unless you do it. There are some things you've been praying about. It's time for you to rebuke. It's time for you to use your God-given authority and rebuke it. There's some stuff going on in our families' lives, our children's lives, our relationships. It's time to stand on your feet, church, and use your God-given authority and say, I am not being robbed. God has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. And so in the name of Jesus Christ, I command this to change. I rebuke it. Now, Jesus asked this question to the disciples wailing and sinking in fear, screaming, we are perishing, we're going to die. All the words that came tumbling out of their mouths, it was obvious they were not in faith. How many of you know that it's happened to all of us, when the pressure's on, it becomes obvious whether you're in faith because of what comes out your mouth. If you're in pressure, just put on a tape recorder. Gosh, where did I get that from? A tape recorder. Dear Lord, forgive me. Get it recorded on your phone, is what I meant. But a tape recorder. Oh, I repent. Forgive me. So, get it and say, I'm under pressure right now. Let me just listen to my words. Because what's coming out my mouth, what's coming out in our conversations with my husband, my wife, my conversations with my friends, it's just so bad, everything's going wrong, they're sinking, where's God? I prayed, but God isn't doing anything. And Jesus says to us, in that moment of pressure, when the storm is raging, where is your faith? In other words, I'm expecting you to use your faith and rebuke and rule over the storm. This is an exciting life we're called to. Come on, guys, we're not just called to be taught. We're here for action and to get into our God-given mission, which is there's a legion of demons waiting for those who will overcome the journey. But you've got to get the victory in your own life, in your boat, so that you can go and take the victory into the world. And so, where is your faith? Sometimes our faith can be tempted to be in a previous experience. Well, I saw a victory once, or I'm hoping it's going to happen again. But we need faith for now. We need faith for the vision that God has given us. God wants us to use our faith for an exceedingly great army. He wants us to rebuke something that comes against us as a church or as an individual. Where is your faith? And I believe that this army is called to greatness. I believe if you're part of this army, you're called to do amazing things. You're called to use your God-given authority. Come back next week and say, it was awesome. What happened to me? I just rebuked the devil this week, and you should have seen the victory that came into somebody's life. I used my authority. I used my faith. And you know, a lot of our problem is we get faith on a Sunday, but because we don't use it, we lose it. Because if you don't use it, you lose it. So don't be hearers only, but be doers of the rebuking. Now remember, we're not rebuking people. We're rebuking enemy activity in whatever way. And God sees sickness is man's enemy. Pain is man's enemy. Now, I want us to look to the Old Testament because actually there's a faith story, victorious faith story here that I'm hoping is going to make you stand on your feet and say, that's me. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 14, and we'll finish with a story about victorious faith. Do you understand what rebuking means? Yes, speak from a higher level. Do you understand that you're called to rebuke things? You know when you first start rebuking things? I remember when I first started to rebuke cold symptoms. I felt a bit weird. Because I was educated in feelings all my life until I became a Christian. And I lived totally by my experiences and feelings and just walked around saying what I felt. But I learned that I had to actually start saying what I believe, not what I feel. And so I started to rebuke a cold. And I used to get really bad backs. I had a slipped disc for many years, which was extremely painful. And I thought, oh, do you know what? I think I'm going to use my authority for my back. I'll take hold of my faith and start to use it. Right, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this pain. And I command this back to get into place. Well, I kept on believing it, speaking it. I didn't let go of it. I just said, no, I'm not putting up with the pain. I'm going to keep going until I see it. I never have a bad back today. Completely healed. If ever I get different levels of war now because leadership requires and demands a different level. But when I first became a Christian, I learned that I needed to come against spirits of oppression. And I'm like, I'm not depressed. I'm never going to be depressed. In the name of Jesus, leave. Get out. I rebuke depression. I rebuke every negative thought and assault and torment of the enemy. I come against you. You're coming against me. Tell you what, I'm coming against you. And the word of God says, you are the one who has to flee. I'm not. I'm not for running. Only for Jesus. That's the only run I'm doing. And so here we see that we are called through faith in what Jesus has said to rebuke the devil and use our faith to win. Now, there's this guy called Jonathan who was actually King Saul's son. And in 1 Samuel chapter 14, the background of this is through a series of basically people not particularly, Saul not submitting to the Lord, doing his own thing. Saul's kind of lost many victories. His army lost many victories. And the people of God are called to be victorious, are called to live in victory. And the enemy had got God's people on the run. Now, I never like it. I feel there's something wrong when somebody's on the run. When somebody's not winning, somebody's not succeeding. Do you ever feel like this is not what it's supposed to be? Because we only have one vision, and that is his vision, which is victory. And the army were defeated. The Philistines, the enemy, had come into three detachments and were sending raiding parties against Israel. And actually, they'd taken out every blacksmith in the nation. Now, a blacksmith, if you think about it, is the one that actually is the metal worker that can make swords and can actually make harvest material. So their ongoing ability to fight, their weapons were taken out, and their ongoing ability to harvest was gone. So here we have the blacksmith, the devil has taken out the enemy, the ability of God's people, and we have now weaponless army. Think about that, a weaponless army, not going to win anything. Thousands of the army had scattered. Some had gone to the other side. They'd even joined the enemy. Some were hiding in caves. And we come into this story where there are only two swords. One belonged to Jonathan and one to Saul in the whole of the army of Israel. Now let's read verse 23 of chapter 13, and we're just going to read this amazing victorious story. Now, a detachment of Philistines had gone out to the pass at Michmash. Love that word. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor, "Come, let's go over to the Philistine outpost on the other side." But he didn't tell his father. Saul was staying on the outskirts of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree in Migron. With him were about 600 men, among whom was Ahijah, who was wearing an ephod. He was the son of Ichabod's brother, Ahitub, son of Phinehas, and the son of Eli, the Lord's priests in Shiloh. No one was aware that Jonathan had left. On each side of the pass that Jonathan intended to cross to reach the Philistine outpost was a cliff. One was called Bozez and the other Seni. One cliff stood to the north towards Michmash and the other the south towards Geba. Jonathan said to his young armor-bearer, this is where it's going to get interesting, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows." What an attitude. This is the spirit of faith talking. "Come, let's go get the enemy." Can you hear? I mean, this is Jonathan speaking. He said, "Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by few or many." Did you hear the word of the Lord? Yeah. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by few or by... Because his faith isn't in his weapons, in his natural human ability, in numbers. His faith is in the Lord. So here we are. The armor bearer says the best thing you can ever say to anyone who's in faith leadership: do all that you've got in your mind. Go for it. I'm with you, heart and mind. In other words, I'm all in. I'm all in the vision to go out and get the devil and defeat the enemy. mind. Sometimes I think we need a bit more stuffing back into our Christian lives, don't we? Come on, let's go get the enemy. Come on, army. Now, the armor bearer says, yes, let's go. And Jonathan says, come then, we'll cross toward the men and let's let them see us. So in other words, here we are. Two guys, can you imagine? Two guys, an outpost of many soldiers going, here we are. We're going to show our face. And he says, let's just test this. If they say, wait there until we come to you, we'll stay where we are and not go up. But if they say, come to us, I think that's a remarkable faith attitude. Because they're actually saying, we're going to come and get you, the two of us. These two little soldiers in God's army, believing God. Just how ridiculous that might look. Are saying, if they say, come on up, we're going. I mean, that's the only encouragement they were looking for. They didn't need fire from heaven. They didn't need everybody to back them up. They were in there for a victory. So if they say, come up to us, we'll climb up, that will be our sign. The Lord has given them into our hands. So both of them showed themselves to the Philistine outpost. Woo! Here we are, devil. Hello! Sometimes I don't think we need to be hiding so much as saying, cooey, we're going to get every hereditary sickness in the place. No, you didn't hear me. We're out to get every hereditary sickness in the place. It's got to come from within you. I'm here to deal with that. I'm here to conquer that so people can be set free. The vision is freedom. So they went out and look, said the Philistines. The enemy said, look, the Hebrews are crawling out holes they were hiding in. Never look to the enemy for any encouragement. He's always going to diminish you, intimidate you, and make you feel you can't do it. Look, the Hebrews are crawling out their holes. The men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us. We're going to teach you a lesson. So in other words, the enemy is saying, we're much stronger than you, but not with the God dimension. They're not accounting God on their side. Who's on our side? If God be for us, who can be against us? Are we believers? If God be for us, I believe that. Who can be against us? No man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. So, Jonathan said to his armor bearer, before he'd killed anyone, before he saw any manifestation, come up after me. The Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. What's happening? He is speaking faith before it happens, because faith always declares we've got the victory before it sees the manifestation of the victory. Come on up. God's given us the victory. Up they go. They fight. Jonathan on his hat, he's scrambling up this. I mean, what a hero of faith. By faith, he went up that cliff. By faith, he said, you tell us to come, we're coming. And I don't care if we look small, I tell you what, we're out to get you. You're the one we're out for. So up they come, Jonathan climbing up using his hands and his feet with his armor bearer right behind him. The Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. In that first attack, Jonathan and his armor bearer killed some 20 men in an area about half an acre. So in other words, that outpost was defeated by two men of faith who used, and you know, because faith acts. Faith goes for something. Faith says, I'm not putting up with this. Now, I want to just say something. You see, Saul's army were under a pomegranate tree. Now, I'm not against pomegranate trees, but I'm against armies sitting, camping under a tree. Because an army isn't designed to sit under a tree and analyze all their losses. An army isn't here just to wonder what we can do about it. An army is actually called to rise up. I mean, imagine what would have happened if the whole army said, come on then, 600. Let's go get the enemy. We've got faith in God for a victory. But it only took two to start an incredible victory in the nation. As soon as Saul's army heard, hang on, what's that noise? Hang on, who's gone? Jonathan and his armor bearer? What's happening? And the enemies, as soon as they went forward, God began to bring an attack because Jonathan was a covenant man. He knew that God was with him. And God said, I will cause your enemies to flee from before you. He believed the word. So he said, I'm just going to go out for it and God will make you run. You're going to have to leave. And so the whole army heard this uproar. The Philistines started fighting themselves. And Saul went, quick guys, get your slingshots. We haven't got any swords, but let's go. The whole army rose up. And I believe that sometimes I think you and I have sat under a pomegranate tree where we haven't been in a position to use our authority. Well, we haven't said, I'm going out for this. And I have to admit, sometimes I'm a bit like that. I lose sight of our battle and the faith that Jesus is looking for out of my life to say, come on, let's go get. Let's go get. Let's not just be students of the word. Let's be doers. Let's go get. Pastor Andrew and I, at the beginning of this week, we've been praying for months, seeking God for strategy. And we had 2 days absolutely set aside for prayer this week. And it's been a long time coming, but God has given us a strategy for a new season, which is absolutely exciting. We are, like my spirit is like, I'm just so excited with what God has told us he's going to do. But what happened in that time of prayer was that I realized, like, do you know what? We can run against a troop. We can leap over a wall. We can, and we got in prayer and God showed us that we needed to start chasing the devil out. We need to start to be more proactive about telling the enemy where he's going. Using the power of a rebuke. And in the spirit, I'm glad that nobody was around at the time. You should have heard the noise. We went for stuff. Now, I know that since then, I realize that this is one of the campaigns that the TV adverts have at the moment called Cancer, We're Coming Out, Coming After You. We're coming to get you. But we were praying that before I even realized it. And we were saying, we are coming to get what the devil has taken from God's people. We're coming to see full health restored. We're not having cancer in this body. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we're coming after you. Yes. Hang on, we are coming. Come on, church. Yes. Come on, army. Yes. We are coming after you. Now, one of our members has been going through a battle. But we've gone after it. And it's been an incredible victory so far, and we will continue to see the victory in his body. But we are not having long-lasting sicknesses, pains, illnesses in the army of God. We're going to go after it. We're not having our children Listen, I was talking to somebody this week about a new app that actually you can take your photo and there's a shadow that comes alongside like a familiar friend. And that shadow is like an evil shadow. So whenever they look at a picture of themselves, they see something evil and they begin to talk to that thing. And I believe that's demonic. And I believe that's here to rob our generation and to bring destruction into young people's lives. Fascination with Ouija boards, witchcraft, the supernatural, Matey Brown. We're coming after you. Darren Brown, we are coming after that spirit behind that witchcraft. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are not having this generation stolen by the devil and false manifestations that show off people. The Lord causes victory to show off His glory, not individuals. His name belongs all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. But we've got to go after it. We've got to go after it. In our homes, we cannot have compromise coming in. We can't, guys. We're in serious times where submit to God really means in your home, on your computer, the things you're looking at. Because you can only win when you're submitted to the Lord. God has a plan for victory for every single person. Our children are not to be filled with fear, nightmares. They're not to have Asperger's. They're not to have all kinds of sicknesses. We're coming after it. Come on, we're coming after. We can't afford to be just on our own program, guys. We're on God's heavenly program. We're on a mission. The devil's not going to sink us. And we're going to go and set people free. We're going to go. Next year, we're going to be holding monthly healing meetings at this place. Oh, yes, we are. Because we are coming after disease and sickness. That's just one of the things we're going to be doing as a church in this building. Bring in the sick. Bring in the tormented. Bring in the hurting. Bring in the oppressed. We have an anointing and the authority to set captives free. We're going out for. We're coming after you. Devil. Oh, yes, we are. We're using our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His victory that He has given us. And we're saying no. And if you've been living with problems you haven't been winning over, it's time you rebuke those issues. I know sometimes households, they come under sickness for such a long time. Rebuke it! Don't let your kids catch everything that's going on at school. We're not natural, we're supernatural. We don't have to put up with everything the world says we've got to have. I ain't catching what the devil's throwing. I'm catching healing. Jonathan, he knew the word. You can't be in faith unless you know the word. But if you know the word and you believe it, you have heart faith, you can come against things. You can be somebody's answer. You are God's answer for their cancer because you've got authority over it. We know it's Jesus. He's the healer. But He uses you. And we got to get a vision to say, do you know what? Whether by few or many, even if just two of you today says, right, that's it, I'm standing up. I've had enough sitting under a pomegranate tree. I'm not going to sit down anymore. I'm going to stand up and say, here we go. I'm going to go all out to see the kingdom of heaven come. Come on, church. Just because you haven't doesn't mean you can't. Because you can. Just because you haven't healed somebody from cancer doesn't mean you can't. Because say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God be for me, who can be against me? I've got authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm me. I'm coming after sickness in my body. I'm coming after any pain in my body today. I'm coming after the devil in my home, robbing peace, robbing people's minds. Come on, we're coming after you, enemy. Come on, army, let's stand. Thank you, Jesus.